B-Pod Studios.
All right, hi everybody. Maz, Murray, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Fine, enough of the pleasantries. Felger Maz here on Thursday, November 14th, coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios. I thought we'd start with some football. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
Okay, and this is where I want to start. I was reading a story on ESPN.com plus one of these plus sites, you know, that...
Behind the paywall.
Yeah, behind the paywall, and somehow... I'm behind the paywall. Even I didn't pay for it. I downloaded an app. I don't know how I have it, but I have it.
I think I gave you my password.
Is that it?
Years ago, you probably
logged on with his password a long time ago, and you still have access.
I actually think I ordered a fight once on the thing. One of our Furcacta Wilder or Fury fights. I had to... Whatever!
Okay.
I've got it on my phone. I can't print it out. But anyway, this is the lead-off to our Patriots topic today. Because I found this interesting. I don't know. Maybe you do or you don't. We'll find out. The story is the NFL's best at everything. The top 2019 players in 60 categories. Holy crap. Now, this is using their scouting service at Pro Football Focus.
That's a lot of categories.
So this is not a poll. This is not like polling GMs. This is not. This is according to their, well, film work and scouting and advanced analytics and blah, blah, blah. And they break it into, it's voluminous. And it's kind of interesting. They break it into 60 different categories. Like, for example, I mean, on offense, they start with the quarterbacks. Best quarterback in the pocket is Matthew Stafford. Stafford has limited his mistakes and taken shots admirably from within the pocket, leading the league with 23 big-time throws, which is PFF's highest-graded pass attempts based upon ball placement, velocity, targeted depth, and other factors from inside the pocket. He has completed 169 of 258. For 2,200 yards and 17 touchdowns, the latter stat leading the NFL within the pocket. So, for example, the best quarterback in the pocket, according to their stats and advanced analytics and scouting, is Matthew Stafford. Who's the best quarterback outside the pocket?
It's an easy one.
Who?
Wilson.
Russell Wilson is the best quarterback outside the pocket, according to their advanced analytics. I won't read you the blurbs for all of these. Best red zone quarterback?
Ooh. Don't know.
Derek Carr. Carr has completed 26 of 36 attempts for 203 yards and 11 touchdowns within the opponent's 20-yard line this season. His league-leading 72% completion rate in the red zone looks even better when taking into account that he has had two drop passes in the scoring area.
The Gruden effect.
So, again, these are, you know, they use facts wherever they can use facts. So, like, they weren't even using their scouting or film work there. It's just, what are your numbers inside the 20? Derek Carr has the best. So they go over, like, every position, everything. Best quarterback under pressure, guess. Russell Wilson.
I was just going to say Wilson. I was going to guess him again because he can move.
Okay, best quarterback downfield throws, 10 yards plus.
Oh, Rodgers, got to be.
Yeah, very good. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay.
Okay. Man, that's all he does.
Okay, and then they'll do this. Best wide receiver by route.
Ooh, best route. Okay. Oh, this one surprised me. I saw this one.
So, for example.
Diggs?
No. For example, the best deep wide receiver is who? Tyreek Hill, Kansas City.
Of course.
Kind
of
easy
to
think about.
Of course.
Okay.
I was going to say DeSean Jackson, but he didn't play enough.
Best wide receiver on screens? Chris Goodwin, Tampa Bay. Okay. Best wide receiver who runs the slant?
That's Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas, New Orleans. Very good, Maz. Best wide receiver in cut? Keenan Allen, L.A. Chargers. Hmm. So on and on and on. Every position. Here, I'll just, like, spin Murray's wheel. So I'm just going to spin my phone up and
see what pops up.
This thing's going to be like a 15-page article.
Oh, my God. So right.
Oh, it is. It's long.
Okay. Best pass rushing edge defender, T.J. Watt, Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. Best pass rushing interior defender.
Don't know.
Aaron Donald, come on.
Oh, of course. Duh. Jesus, yes.
Best run stopping edge defender. They give it to Eric Armstead of the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Best run stopping interior defender. Calais Campbell, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, of course, another good one, yeah.
Best pass rusher off of stunts.
Someone in Pittsburgh.
Nick Bosa, San Francisco 49ers.
Or him.
On and on and on. I'll scroll up again. I mean, okay. Best defensive backs by route. Okay, the best defensive back covering the out, Jair Alexander, Green Bay Packers. Best defensive back covering the screen, Brian Poole, New York Jets. Best defensive back covering the slant, Quentin Dunbar, Washington Redskins. on and on and on. Name the position, and it just goes on. And so it's kind of interesting. Guess how many Patriots show up on this list?
I already know the answer to this. Murray, did you count them?
I didn't. Four?
One.
He showed up twice, though.
One. Okay, now he showed up twice, and you actually win only three of the 60 categories. And it's sort of weird that these are supposed to be on individuals, but they do. So here's where you win. Here's where you win. They go through all the offensive linemen. You know, like best run-blocking guard. Who's the best run-blocking guard in the NFL, Bedard?
Colts. What's his name?
It's not even Quentin Nelson. Very good, though. It's Brandon Brooks, Philadelphia Eagles. Best pass-blocking center is Rodney Hudson in Oakland. Okay, do this on your own time. So they go through all the individual offensive linemen, and then they get to the very end, and then they just have a category, least penalized offensive line.
New England.
The Patriots are the least penalized. That's one they won. Huh. That's one of the three categories that they won.
To which I would say start holding more.
It's like the
you suck.
Spinal Tap. Have you ever seen it? They're England's most punctual band. It's like, you know, like, I mean, what kind of award is that? Least penalized offensive line. As an offensive line unit among all tackles, guards, and the center, the Patriots have been called for just 12 penalties this season, two fewer than the next best unit, the Panthers.
I'd suggest, I would highly recommend to Marshall Newhouse that he start holding. He's given up 31 and a half pressures. If I were him, I'd start holding.
So I don't know what it means that you're the least penalized line. It's probably not a good thing because your line has sucked. So
at least they're disciplined in something.
I mean, I don't know who the most penalized line is. They didn't put it there, but that's one of the categories you won. Then you had a single player win only two. One guy came in first in two different categories. Best slot corner in the NFL.
Well, that one gives it away, right?
Jonathan Jones. When lined up in slot coverage, Jones has been great, seeing 32 targeted passes come his way and allowing just 20 catches for 211 yards while forcing four incompletions. He hasn't missed a tackle in the slot.
It's amazing, right?
Interesting.
That stat was amazing.
Hasn't missed a tackle in slot coverage, and he has done a terrific job of keeping the plays in front of him and limiting big plays from shifty slot receivers and big tight ends. So you won that one. And then, this was interesting too, best man coverage, man corner. And it's not Stephon Gilmore. It's Jonathan Jones. Jones has allowed 3 receptions from 9 targets for 7 yards across 173 coverage snaps in cover 0 or cover 1.
So is that still in the slot or no?
I think that's all over. Okay. I would take that to mean all over.
Didn't he give up that long pass to Golden Tate? Anyway, go ahead.
He has logged 4, maybe that was zone. He has logged 4 interceptions in said coverage schemes. He might not be a household name like Stephon Gilmore, but Jones is a big reason why New England has the best defense in the NFL through 10 weeks of play. Okay, so this is all I'm so here's my jumping off point. What does this say about you? Is this a good story for the Patriots or a bad story for the Patriots?
So do I have to pick one or can I say both?
Oh, my God. I just don't answer the question with the question.
Have an opinion, Maz. Or it's just, not that difficult.
No, just answer it however you want to answer it.
Bad. I'll take the bad.
Thank you.
My real answer would be both, but since you're forcing me to pick, I'll give you bad.
I'm just forcing you to just content.
Okay.
Just go.
Well, okay, fine. So
I need somebody on this show with an opinion for crying out loud.
Okay,
go.
So the good news is that, as usual, the Patriots will tell you it doesn't matter what the individuals do. It's all about the group. It's team defense. Bill Belichick will beat you over the head with that, and I think there is a certain amount of truth to that. However, I happen to believe that this defense's numbers are wildly overrated.
Is this team short on talent?
Who's the Hall of Famer on the defense?
Stephon Gilmore or...
Is he?
I mean, he was first-team All-Pro last year. He's trending that way.
He's got... If he does this for another 7 years, okay, so he's on his way, but he's got a long way to go.
I mean, when I think of Hall of Fame corners, I think of Dion...
Playmakers.
Ty Law, Champ Bailey.
I mean, like, all those other guys were first-team All-Pros, just like Gilmore was.
I know,
last
but
year.
They were multiple times. Multiple.
Okay, so he's
multiple
got one.
Multiple All-Pros.
And he's trending that way this year.
So I just have a hard time putting Gilmore in that group. He's good.
Long way to go.
He's good, but he's not like those other guys. He's not a Hall of Famer.
If he does this for 6 or 7 more years, Murray, he will be.
But I would say right now, if you were to look at me and say, who are the Hall of Famers on this defense? I don't think they have one. They got some really good players, but not one that I look at and say, he is like a Hall of Famer. Like, that is a guy that is one of the all-time greats at his position. I don't think they have it.
So, I mean, I think this opens up so many questions, right? Which is this team actually short on high-end talent? Is this a statement about Belichick the GM? A bad statement about Belichick the GM? Is this a good statement about Belichick the coach? Is this another one of the things where Belichick the GM hasn't given Belichick the coach high-end talent, but at the end of the day, what has Bill Belichick the coach done?
What do you think?
I think it's a great story. So I was going to give you the questions first, but here's the answer. Great story. I think this is the hallmark of the Patriots. I love when the Patriots are like this, when they're greater than the sum of their parts. They're a team. Team sports. This is why I watch team sports. If I just wanted to see the best individual athlete, I'd watch track and field. And I don't watch track and field. So you know me. I'm pretty consistent about this. I don't care about the burner, the guy that jumps through the gym or runs out the tunnel, or the highest individual talent. I don't care about that flashy, fancy outside receiver. I don't care about the running back. There, you hit the B button on your joystick and wee! You know, look at that. Or you never hear me pull it out for, like, the stud pass rushing guy. Like, I like the Patriots when they're like this. I like the Patriots when they are greater than the sum of their parts. It's not about collecting talent. It's about building a team. It's like, I'm into all that crap. I've always been into all that crap, which, you know.
Well, that's the good news.
Yeah. So, no, that, and to me, that's the only news. And that, so I think it is a good story. But I think we're here again, where we have one of these teams where, but it opens up some other questions, which is this team misunderstood? Is it like, is this another one of these teams? And I think the Patriots had this very, very on, you know, early on in the beginning. 2001, we looked at that team and went, you know, there's really not much here. But now you look back at it, oh boy. You know, you got Hall of Famers, Ty Law. You got guys who are going to the Hall like Richard Seymour. You got guys who are going to be getting votes like McGinnis, Vrabel, Brewski. Like, you know, you look now at that defense, you go, oh, we undersold the talent on that team. Are we doing that here? You know, are we underselling this team? And is it one of those things? Is the team just misunderstood, or do people misunderstand what football is all about? Like, you know, can we just not reckon the fact that the Patriots are the best team, but they don't have the best individual talent? You didn't draft them in fantasy. But it all adds up to the best team. See, I love that. That's why I like sports. I like those kind of teams.
Oh, look, I think it's more of that. Again, look, you know, I'm going back years now. Dallas had the number one defense in the league once and had no All-Pros on it. Remember that? Like, Ken Norton was a linebacker. He was early in his career. They had a similar sort of team back then. They played very well together, and I would say this team plays very well together. But I, you know, me being me, I tend to look at it through the glasses half-empty point of view.
No, so, but I mean, I think we're both right in saying that. I don't think that this, and when people compared this defense to, I mean, some all-time defenses, which is silly, but I think even the Patriots' all-time defenses, I don't think that the talent on this team compares to what they had in 03 and 04 on defense. Again, 03, 04, I'll go position by position. The personnel was superior.
Hell, I think the personnel was superior in 2014.
It might be. But the way they play together equals it, which I love. I think it's a great story. That's the Patriots. That's like when I look back at the thing, I'm going to say, that's the Patriots.
Unless, you know, as long as they're playing the Jets and the freaking Browns.
Okay, well, there's a whole different, I mean, that opens up other things. But I think overall it's a good story, but it feels like, oh, here we go again. You know, rating services and rankings and power rankings and player rankings, and you've got no good players. Like, this thing is comical. If you read it on ESPN.com or ESPN Plus, whatever, like, they grade every player at, you know, who's the best at wiping their butt after a deuce at the safety position, and they'll give it to you. Like, every position, every guy at everything, and you don't show up in any of these things.
I'm guessing Jamal Adams.
Jonathan Jones and your offensive line for not taking penalties. That's it. No one else rates at anything. And yet,
not Felga, Brady should be in there.
Here you are with the best team in football. What does that say? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And are your players underrated, or are they properly rated? And does that mean Bill sucks as a GM, or he's just great as a coach? And what does it mean? Like, it opens up all that stuff.
I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad harbinger of things to come.
Okay, so are they whistling past the graveyard? They're not talented, and it will catch up to them. That's another thing you could say, that it's smoke and mirrors or the schedule, and that the lack of talent will catch up to them. And this is this is an early warning sign that, oh, you know, what do we really have here? You can put that on the board. So your thoughts on all of it at 617-779-0985-T right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. Zellner and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, your thoughts on this ESPN story, ranking the 60 best players at each position, at each specific thing. And the Patriots barely show up on the list. Jonathan Jones, that's it. And your offensive line for not being penalized. Does that mean your offensive line is so bad that they can't even get there to hold?
So that's sort of my read on it.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
So in an odd way, I almost think it's a compliment to Skarnecchia. Yep, we got a bunch of
You didn't say it.
I came close. Yeah, we get a bunch of stiffs up there, but at least I teach them not to hold. Like that's sort of
well, that shows you they're still well coached, right? It shows you they're still well coached.
So that's what I mean. Yeah, it's right. Like that it really that's a talent issue.
They're disciplined.
Yes,
they're disciplined and sucky.
Yes, that Skarnecki at least gets through to him and says, "This is why that press conference with Skarnecki a couple of weeks ago or a week ago when he said, you know, I got to do a better job. I have to coach it better. I think he's doing fine." They just have a couple of guys playing on that line right now that should probably not be in the league.
Okay, is it one of these Patriots teams where we're underrating the talent? Or is it one of these Patriots teams where Bill's getting a lot out of a little? Or this is one thing I can tell you for sure. You know, if Van Noy or, you know, the guys in that locker room get a hold of this story, get ready for the, you know, the Blinami, right? I mean, this is right up their alley.
Oh, yeah. You don't think we're any good, do you?
If I were them, I would wait until after my next good game. Right now is not a good time to do it because they got their asses handed to them in Baltimore.
But either way, Van Noy's even done this already. Like, wasn't there a story somewhere like NFL.com about Bill Belichick, da-da-da, and then Van Noy retweeted it or something and said, hey, we have names or something like this, right? You know, his usual, you know, rabbit-eared blah stuff. But this is like right up their alley. That's right up his alley. No one, they're not recognized, not even, forget Van Noy, no one on your defense other than your slot corner. It's the only name that appears on this whole story.
I mean, it is amazing when you consider some of the players you have on that defense, because there were guys that are established veteran good players in that league. You know, McCourty, Hightower, Gilmore is the obvious one, right? He plays at, as Murray said, a Pro Bowl All-Pro level. So, you know, those guys you would think somewhere in there their names would pop up. They don't. Brady's different this year just because of what he's working with. I think that's why he doesn't show up on that list. But we all know where he is. But so to me, just quickly on the defense has got plenty of talent to be good. Like, I don't think they're short on talent on defense. On the other side of the ball, I wonder. I do wonder about the talent on offense.
Okay, your calls, as promised, 617-779-0985. Mike and Bill Ricca.
Hey, how you doing? Hi. Just wanted your take on Devin McCourty and if he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you know, I meant to mention that when Maz said that. I think he's got a shot, Mike. He's going to... It's hard. There's very few guys at that position who are in. It's a very thin position in the hall. And, hell, there's a guy like Rodney Harrison who's got a ton of ball stats. You know, strip.
Right, 30 sacks, 30 interceptions.
He's only the second guy in NFL history to have 30 sacks and 30 interceptions. I mean, how many sacks does McCourty have in his career? Does he have five?
Oh, I doubt he even has that many.
Does he have any?
He never blitzes.
You know, like, I can't remember a single McCourty sack. Yeah, I'm saying he must have some, so I just said a handful. But, you know, up until, as a rookie, as a corner, he put up some numbers. And this year, obviously, he had, like, interceptions in the first five games, but he's not a big numbers guy. So, three sacks.
Three career sacks.
Okay, so I knew you had to have, I mean, every once in a while, he had to have done something.
And he's got 26 career interceptions.
That's more than I would give him credit for. That's a lot.
But seven of them came in his rookie year when he was playing corner.
So that's sort of what I just said, too.
Yeah.
But either way, I think he'll get considered, you know, if he goes, what does he have, three rings?
I think he does, yeah, that's right.
He's got three rings, and he's, like, started every game for 10 years or something. He's going to get considered, and he should. I just think a little bit of a stretch. Unfair, but there's not a lot of safeties in there. And if a ball hawk
So again,
Rodney's not going to be in there. I don't know how Devin McCourty.
But again,
is.
Just put it into context. They just played the Ravens. Ed Reed's in. Is he Ed Reed?
No, I don't think he's Ed
Reed. He's not Ed Reed. And again, I love McCourty. I mean, if you were to say to me to build the perfect Patriot, in a lot of ways, I'd pick McCourty. I think he is. He's perfect in a million ways. I love everything about him. But he's not a Hall of Famer.
Jason in Milford says, stop being negative about this Patriots team. Go ahead, Jason. Hello. Okay, that's what his comment line said. Said, stop being negative about this Patriots team. I think it's a positive story. I love these kind of Patriots teams. It's one of the things I like about the Patriots is that they win without stars and they don't need the stars. And they sort of, the fantasy player can't figure them out because they don't rate on any of these lists. And they don't, you know, they're not combine guys and they're not, you know, like I like those kind of teams. I like that about the Patriots. I think that's what the league doesn't get.
Well, and oftentimes those teams can be the most effective. Right, like I'll even go back to just because the games this week, the Super Bowl they played against the Eagles. You remember going into that game, we talked about all the Eagles' weapons. Who was the number one option? We couldn't settle on that. Now, in retrospect, I think we'd all say Ertz. Ertz was the guy they go through on third down, but it wasn't a clear cut. It was Jeffrey. It was Aguilar. It was Ertz. I don't even remember who the hell they had a couple of backs that they threw to, right? Corey Clement. Couple of guys like that, like there were just so many that you couldn't prioritize one over the other that made them really hard to play against.
And if you do want a negative slant on a caller, what you're calling about, this is sort of what bothers me about Brady and the way he handles the receiver thing. It feels like for him now only stars need apply. And it's like Jonathan Jones, was he drafted? Is he another undrafted guy?
I think he is an undrafted guy.
So it's like, you know, as I said this yesterday, like you've got these quote unquote no names or guys that, you know, people don't understand or know or don't get or don't rate all over the field, offense, defense, every position. And I love that about the Patriots. They take a Malcolm Butler, a J.C. Jackson, a Jonathan Jones, an undrafted David Andrews, whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden they're frontline players and you're winning Super Bowls with a collection, with a team. It's not collecting talent. It's building a team. And I like that. I've always liked that about the Patriots. I feel like, except I don't feel like they do that anymore at receiver. It's like Brady just wants the big name.
Oh, he did. I mean, he definitely has fallen into that. It's gotten worse over the years.
That's sort of that frustration there. Ben in Taunton. Go ahead, Ben.
I disagree about the talent of the past compared to back then. I mean, they had an amazing defense back then. But at the same time, I think if you put someone like Dante Hightower in there, I mean, I think he would have started on that team. I mean, he's a leader. He comes up huge in the biggest moments. I think he's a sure thing Patriots Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll make him in the big hall, but I think he would start on that team. Devin McCourty would have started on that team. Gilmore, of course.
Okay, so would Hightower have started? You had McGinnis, Vrabel, Brewski. Those guys aren't coming off the field. I'm sorry.
So Willie was really a defensive end, though, don't you think?
Yeah, but they played a 3-4, so Willie was one of the outside linebackers, but fine, you know, elephant. So would Hightower have started over Ted Johnson? Yeah, probably.
I'd say probably yes.
Would he have started
over but yes.
Pfeiffer? Yeah, probably. And then they had Colvin in there. So they moved Vrabel inside sometimes. I mean, I don't know. Yes, he would have been in that group. Devin McCourty would have been the second safety, so he would have started over Eugene Wilson. There's only one guy in that 03-04 defense that didn't belong there, and that was Eugene Wilson. The rest? Ay, ay, ay. I mean,
who played right? Oh, Samuel. Was he there then?
Samuel and Ty Law were the starters in 03-04. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Never mind Otis or, you know, that.
And they had first round picks across the old line, right?
So, right.
I mean, defensive line.
D-line, yeah.
D-line, that's what I meant.
Warren, Wilfork, Seymour.
All first rounders.
None of your current defensive linemen would start. Okay, so sorry, Lawrence Guy. Sorry. All you guys up there, you're all coming off the bench.
No, they were loaded.
Your outside guys here.
Hightower would have fit with that group, though.
Sorry, and Van Noy would have been a rotational guy, but he wouldn't have started over McGinnis or Vrabel. No shot. Nor would Winovich, nor would, you know, I mean, Jamie Collins would be, those guys would be behind them. They would. I'm sorry. They would. And Gilmore would have been your second corner, I guess, yeah. But Samuel was excellent. So, I mean, I just think the talent was better on those defenses. But I don't treat that as a negative for this year. I say that's what's great about this team is that they're greater than the sum of their parts. I love those Patriots.
Well, look, and again, even Doug Peterson said this in the last couple of days. They have veteran guys who've been together for a while, so they play very well together. And even when you do, he made the comment, even when you do catch it or complete a pass, there's nowhere to go, right? Because they space so well, there are just no gaps there. So, listen, they're really, really good. I'm just telling you, I think it, you know, I think this idea of them being the 85 Bears or the Ravens from the early 2000s, or like, I look at that and say, this is where the talent does become an issue. If we're comparing them to historically the great defenses, I don't see the talent that puts them on that level.
Okay, I'll tell you what is disappointing to me with the Patriots, where they should have some talent and they don't rate on this list. I'll give you that coming up. We also want to give you a follow-up on the cheating scandal there with the Houston Astros in Major League Baseball. You can weigh in on any of this stuff at 617-779-0985 to you and these stories after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's follow up on the Houston Astros cheating thing. Since the story came out, when we read you the details yesterday, camera in center field, trained on the catcher. They would decipher the signals in a tunnel underneath the dugout. And then when they determined what was off speed, what was fastball on off speed pitches, they'd bang a garbage can in the tunnel so loudly you could hear it up at the plate. And since that story came out, people started going through clips of games at Minute Maid Park. And boy, was it obvious? Could you tell? There's some clips on the internet that are just hysterical.
They're a riot.
We'll play you one here. It's hard to really translate to radio. It doesn't sound perfect. You really got to listen for it, but we'll just give it to you. But you know, when you see the video online, when they give the bang, they throw up a little bang, like a old Batman. You know?
Screen caption.
Yeah, screen caption, bang. So you can see it with the sound, and it makes perfect sense. Hearing it, it doesn't translate perfectly, but we'll just play it for you. This is a Bregman home run.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Springer.
This is Springer. George Springer.
George Springer home run.
This was the loudest one.
And it's like you'll hear a bang and then pop. The bang and then the pop of the bat for a home run. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This ball is crushed to left field. Springer has just hit his 31st home run.
Okay, so again,
it's at the very. There it is.
There it is. Okay,
that's it.
So one more time. And then.
It is. It's hard to hear.
This ball is crushed to left field.
So there's maybe like it's like a second before. It's like a beat before. But it's clear as day. Bang. And then the pitch is thrown. And is it the Cubs who's on the mound? Who's ever on the mound? The pitcher, goes, ugh. And to me, now knowing what I know now about that scheme and the banging of the garbage can, I wonder if the pitcher was as agitated with the fact that I just got caught tipping a pitch as I did giving up the home run. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, you could hear the bang was clear as day.
Absolutely.
And it was all like, catcher puts down a two, bang, pop, home run. It's like, oh, really? And I wonder if the pitcher's reaction was as much about that as it was about giving up a home run.
Oh, I think totally. Because, again, in the clips that I saw, one of the guys was pitching for the White Sox. It was Danny Farquhar, who's the guy is quoted in the story.
He had to step off. He started stepping off.
And actually, this is illustrated in the cuts that are online, where he calls the catcher up, puts a glove over his mouth, tells him, and then they change it. Right? They change the signs, and there you go. Now, all of a sudden, the Astros have to decipher it again. So I think that a lot of teams around the league knew it, because that stuff gets around. And so they knew, and I'm sure they were as agitated with, because players typically don't rat out players.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Just watching that clip, how do you not know within 2 minutes what's going on?
I know, because the only thing I would say is that sometimes you're so focused on what you're doing, you don't hear the rest of it. But the thing that I forgot, because I'm an idiot, is that, and just so people understand it too, the bang comes while the pitcher's in his delivery. So the hitter has enough time to adjust.
To count, but...
I mean, he can sit there and go, okay, he hears and goes off speed.
It's still pretty impressive.
It is.
That, you know, because it's bang, bang. It's bang in the tunnel, okay, off speed, home run. Like, it's still... Boy, that's still pretty impressive that you can turn that around that quickly.
Those guys can react that fast.
But so I'm sorry, finish the thought.
No, so I'm just going to say, I'm an idiot, and I sit there and go, well, they know the off speed's coming. Well, when they don't hear the bang, they know it's a fastball. I didn't even put that part of it together because I'm such a freaking moron.
What should the league do?
Now that this is out and so many people know about it, they got to come down on the Astros and the manager.
Throw the book at them. Throw the book at them. And even if it wasn't known, what the fact that this has been known and it's been allowed to go on, and you know that there's been stuff back and forth that hasn't been reported. I mean, we just know from like the Red Sox Apple Watch thing and the, you know, when the Red Sox play the Astros, they're taking pictures of each other. And you know there's all sorts of nonsense going on because Cora was doing it with the Astros and he was doing it with Boston. And now they're like, so this has all been going on. I hate this crap. I hate it.
I mean, it's gotten stupid with this thing. Like, this one feels to me like it's gone. The whistling from the dugout was bad enough. Now beating on a trash can to send the signal?
So it's like,
well, really, what's the difference?
But this is not why I watch sports. It's like, all right, so who's cheating the best? Who's got the best camera angle? Who's got the best scheme? Who's got the best little method of getting the of tipping the pitch or getting the information out to the hitter? The banging of the drum, the banging of the garbage can, the camera here, the camera there. That's what we're. This is now who wins.
It's not an Apple Watch.
It's not the best team. It's who's cheating the best. Is what drove me nuts about your stuff with Deflategate and Spygate and all that. I hated that crap. I hate this crap. Throw the freaking book at them.
Yeah, I think they're going to get hit hard. And according to Jeff Passan of ESPN, the penalties could be unlike anything that's been seen in recent history.
Good. But so there's two reasons why I hate it. That's the first. I you know, and this sort of ties in, like, I hate flopping and embellishment. Like, I'm just not into this. I the steroid era got stupid to me. It's just, that's not why I'm in this, to see who cheats the best. And I'm not in this to see who comes up with the best camera angle or the best way to steal signs or the best way to cheat the rules or fake a ref or like that. None of that interests me. I hate all that crap. I got no use for any of it. So throw the book at them. Throw the book at them. That's a dirty team, that Astros team. Okay? Filthy. Throw the book at them.
So can I just add this too? Because
yeah.
Cora is obviously in the middle of this. Okay? Alex Cora is in the middle of it. Apparently, he's been contacted by MLB. He's now saying, no comment. I've talked to MLB. That's all I'll tell you. Well, that in and of itself says, okay, so you're in the middle of it. And apparently, according to some of these stories, he was one of the guys, like, in, you know, at Master Control. Okay, he was in the middle of it. And I looked it up because I was curious. I went back and looked at games 1 and 2 of the ALDS, or at least parts of them. I shouldn't say the whole thing, to see if I could hear any beating on the trash cans.
2 years ago.
2 years, 2017, when Cora was with Houston.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what the Astros hit in those two games at home?
Oh, so I forgot. The Sox played them in the division series the year before.
Do you know what the Astros hit at home in those two games?
I don't.
342 with 10 extra base hits, and they scored 16 runs. They won both games 8-2. They beat Sale in game one. They beat Pomeranz in game two. Then they came to Boston,
yeah,
and they didn't hit.
Yeah.
They lost 10-3, and then they won the last game 5-4.
Your bullpen still blew it.
Right? So, exactly. So, look, overall, they hit 282 for the series. So, I haven't done the math on the Fenway average, but they hit 342 in Houston and 282 overall. So, what did they hit in Boston? 240?
I heard a stat on Mad Dog driving in. They were, the Astros in 2016 had a strikeout rate of, I want to say, like, 30-something percent or 20. It was high. It was like one of the highest in the league. The next year, they dropped to 17%, the lowest strikeout percentage in the league at home. So they were clearly benefiting from it.
I mean, and again, when you see some of these videos, because again, you read the stories, you think, okay, they're cheating. Big deal. Everybody does it. They were doing it on every pitch in some of these at-bats.
Throw the book at them. So there's two reasons why I hate it. That's one, just the competitive thing. It drives me nuts. I got no use for it in any sport. It doesn't interest me at all. To cheat a ref, fake a ref, cheat a game, throw a camera angle. I have no interest in it. None. Okay? So throw the book at him. There's another reason why I hate it and you should throw a book at him. I'll tell you why that. The second reason after these words with your calls.
Filger and Mez.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's about time you wake up, baseball. Get moving. You read the quote, the money quote in that story with The Athletic? They said, a rival executive, baseball's done, quote, a piss poor job of managing this stuff the last 5 years. Quote me. Piss poor. Quote. My God. Stop worrying about all this nonsense. Get stop with these investigations. Come down hard on them. Every guy who does this from now on, you get an automatic suspension and your team is in trouble and you lose your draft picks. That garbage will stop in a minute. Those godful, love those draft picks. Take them away. Take them away.
So our buddy Dog got all fired up about it. I don't blame him. I'm with him. Throw the book at him. Throw the book at him. I hate that.
Take him away.
I'm with you.
Never mind the team. Just as an aside, because I hadn't thought about that until hearing his quick little rant there. So him saying baseball's done a piss poor job. Where's the flack for Rob Manfred in this? Like, he's known this has gone on with this team and, you know, the thing with the Red Sox a few years ago as well.
He's going to get it now.
So here's the problem. That I think this kind of cheating in baseball is so systemic, is so ingrained in the game that it's not treated the same way as it would in football or other sports. In baseball, for crying out loud, and I wonder how Dog feels about this, Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world was a cheat. It just came out. Was the pitcher Ralph Branca?
Yeah. I get it right.
He said, and I forget how the story came out, but they had a light bulb or something in left field at the Polo Grounds and center field in the Polo Grounds, and Bobby Thompson knew it was a fastball or an off speed, and they had a little cheating thing going on there, and he used it on that pitch. So it's like it's been going on forever in baseball. It's almost like accepted in baseball. So that's part of it. That's part of it. But I hate it. I despise that. Okay, so our cheating method's better than yours, and that's why we win. That is not why I'm watching this stuff.
It's impossible to like.
And during the steroid era, so you had better milligram. You know, we got out milligram tonight. Like, I have no use for that. I don't. So, but can I just give you the second reason why?
Sure,
this is,
go.
They should throw the book at him. This is part of the reason why it slowed the game down, because now everyone knows everyone's doing something, and so you know every pitch is a state secret, and every third pitch the catcher has to go out there. They have to change the signs, and what do they know, and what do we know? And now we've got to change the signs again, and now what is it? No, it's like, so it's, you know, every pitch now becomes, it's like freaking the Bourne supremacy. It's like two nerds on their computers somewhere going at each other before they throw the effing pitch. And it's gummed the whole game up. And so, like, this is one of the reasons the game is so slow, is because they're afraid someone's recording the pitch and tipping off the batter, and how do we get the sign out to the pitcher without them knowing? And it's, like, it's added a whole layer of time to the game.
Yeah, listen, the whole sport has pissed me off so much in the last couple of years. I want to see guys start getting reamed for stuff.
No, but I mean, don't you agree that
yes,
this is why?
Yes, it's all part and parcel, no question.
Every playoff game is 4 hours. So maybe some regular season games, they just say, you know, throw the freaking ball. But in the playoffs, every single pitch. So every single pitch, it's like, we've got to hide the sun, you know, and to the point where, and when someone first brought this up, I said, this is nonsense. But now I think they have to do it and get some sort of electronic communication from the catcher to the pitcher. So we just eliminate the whole thing. That's what they did with the Patriots and Spygate. You know, it was, the whole thing started with the defensive coaches signaling in the signals. The Patriots taping the signals, decoding them, and going to the next game. And then, you know, so they said, well, enough of this. We'll just put the speaker in the linebacker's ear. They'll radio in the signal just like we do to the quarterback. And unless you're tapping the phones, there's no way to steal the signal. And that cleaned that right up. Done. Story over.
Of course, that's coming next.
Well,
the phone tapping or headset tapping is coming next.
All I'm saying is what the Patriots were doing, they ended simply by putting the speaker in the linebacker's ear. just do the same thing with the pitcher and the catcher. And I don't know if it's a speaker. I don't know if it's like a little tapper where you tap a 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't know. Nerds come up with it. But make it, just give me an electronic way for the catcher to get to the pitcher. What effing pitch to throw. No one can intercept it. There's no camera angles. There's no banging on. And just throw the ball. Okay, so that's what I think they need to do.
Yeah, look, the headset thing, I'm all for. Again, it is striking when you see some of this, you know, some of these videos, because it's literally every pitch. It's every pitch. So a guy goes up to the plate. He waits to hear the bang. No bang, I'm getting a fastball. And I just, in the interest of accuracy, I misspoke earlier. The Astros hit for average when they came up here in that series in 2017, the division series, but they didn't hit for power, which I think still supports the argument that it was a factor. Because when you know it's coming, you can gear up and hammer the thing. When it's not, you're more defensive and you're putting it in play, and they're good players still. It's just not that they suck. But to me, Manfred's got to hit hard here. And the guy who should get hit hardest, if we're going to go to individuals, is A.J. Hinch.
Of course.
Because he knew it all.
Of course.
He knew it all. He's in charge. You want to be the man leading the ship? Then you got to take the heat when the thing goes down. And don't for a second think that Alex Cora wasn't trying to pull some sort of crap here, because I bet he was. And as they were in other markets. I'm not saying he's any different. But Cora, he's in the middle of this thing too. Like, and it sounds like people are pissed off about it. I got another one for you if you want to hear it.
Sure.
My understanding is that baseball's starting to look into some of the ways balls are stored before games, and that humidors might now be a thing in every ballpark. So, again, some teams did it. Some teams didn't. You know, in Colorado.
Moisten the balls.
Right.
Moist balls.
Moisten them up.
They don't. They're heavier.
Lubricate.
Or so, I'm sorry. So the whole thing, they would moisten the balls in Colorado and Arizona, places like this, because of altitude, they would dry them out, and you know, they'd be like golf balls. They'd go farther. So baseball, Major League Baseball, would moisten them up.
Correct.
To deaden them.
Apparently Arizona is a bad place for that too.
Right. As I just said, Colorado and Arizona.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear
that. It's all right. It's all right. But you're saying other places are doing it. So when they're on the mound, they got moist balls and the other team doesn't?
Correct. So in some cases, they're getting balls that travel farther. In other cases, they're not, right? Depending on whether they're hitting or in the field.
Yeah.
And so there's at least this speculation.
You can really do that?
I think.
The umpire just doesn't, I'm sorry to keep doing this, but in his ball bag, he just doesn't, like, well, he switches out balls depending who's up?
So my guess is that when they, you know, maybe they run them out to him at a certain time. I don't know all the details of it. I just know that they're looking into it. Or allegedly looking into it.
So, look, the cheating stuff and unfair advantages, I hate. And so go after them, hammer the crap out of them. But I also think all this stuff has helped gum up the game and slow down the game.
Absolutely.
Because everyone's doing something. They all know everybody's doing something. So it's like espionage and counter-espionage. And it's just taking time.
Right. And meanwhile, you're sitting in front of your TV or in the stands going, throw the effing pitch.
Would you throw the ball? Oh,
again,
my God.
Further evidence that, I put it all under the umbrella of micromanaging it, whether it's analytics or they've just sucked the life out of the game for the viewer.
Okay, we'll get your calls on this. I still do want to get to that. One part of that list, that ESPN Plus story about no Patriots talent, the one part that would bother me if I'm the Patriots. Overall, it's a good story for the Patriots. You're a team that's greater than the sum of its parts, but there's one thing that you should have talent at that you don't. I'll get to that and your calls on the cheating thing after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.